Welcome to the NC4 Podcast. We exist to know Christ and make him known. Discover the power of a connected life by listening to this message from God's Word.
There is joy in the house of the Lord. Good morning, church. Good morning, everyone in Bethlehem. Hello, hello. Online and right here in Makanji. Lights are on me. Here we go. A seven-year-old once prayed the following: "Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over." Soon after reading that honest prayer, I was reminded of the few Dear God children's books my daughter Gabby has in her library. And there I found these prayer gems. "Dear God, I think I've broken my heart. Can you fix it? Dear God, I'm lost. Please find me. Dear God, let me tell you my side of this." See, kids tend to tell the truth. Unfiltered, raw, sometimes funny, sometimes painful. We can learn from them, and Jesus made sure to stress this by saying that his kingdom belongs to those who come to him like little children with childlike honesty and truth. That's in Luke 18, 15, 17. And today we continue our sermon series, Signs of the Kingdom, and we're going to be focusing on the sacrament of confession. Now, depending on your life experiences, the word confession could evoke a wide range of thoughts and feelings, such as scary, shameful, freeing, legal, relational, or deeply spiritual. Perhaps some of you just picture a Catholic confessional booth, public altar calls as we do some Sundays, most Sundays here, or thought of a romantic confession, or perhaps a police interrogation. Yeah. We won't ask him. But what if there is more to confession than what we just thought, felt, or imagined? What if confession was in fact the key to unlocking a life of power and freedom? Well, I'm here today to tell you that there is power in living a confessed life. And today we are going to look at how confession is a sacrament instituted by God so that we can live out the fullness of his grace through salvation, through healing, freedom, and community. Let's look at our starting biblical text in Luke 18, 9, 14, where Jesus makes a point about the power of honest prayers. Jesus said, he also told his parable to some who trusted in themselves. I love that he told this story, and that was his audience. His audience were people that were trusting in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. The parable goes, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, "God, thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. In this narrative, Jesus highlights two men and their confessions. The Pharisee recited his spiritual resume, but admitted nothing. He said a lot. Yet the tax collector beat his chest and in sorrow prayed, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector, although he was the one that was rejected, a rejected member of society, was not rejected by God. Instead, he experienced the power of a confessed life when he received God's forgiveness. While the Pharisee, a respected member of society, left full of himself, but empty of God's justification, for his confession was void of truth. And this is my first point. God loves honest confession, church. Confession is the beginning of genuine transformation. And it simply means tell God the truth about everything. But if we don't tell God the truth, how can we or he enlighten us with his truth? As people of God, we are to live in the light of truth. The light of his truth. Ephesians 5:8-9 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The question is, how is it possible to live in the light of truth? It is possible through the power of confession. David said in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Disciplines, he has a whole chapter dedicated to confession. And he calls confession a discipline of grace, which is not self-condemnation or just a religious performance. Confession is a pathway to salvation. And here's the next point. There is power in confession for salvation. Look at what Romans 10:9-13 says. Many of you know this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, but with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone. For there is no distinction between Jew, Greek, American, Puerto Rican. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here we see Paul reveal the theology behind the experience of the tax collector when he confessed his sin without pretense, but with unfiltered truth. Paul says salvation involves both believing in our hearts and confessing with the mouth. In other words, believe is invisible, but confession is audible. Believe is the root, and confession then is the fruit. And the fruit of confession has a starting point. And you know what that is? Sorrow. as we saw with the Pharisee. Sorrow, but it ends with joy. There is celebration in the forgiveness of sins because it results in a genuinely changed life. That's what Richard Foster wrote, and I love this so much. Confession begins with sorrow, but it ends with joy. There is sorrow in confession because of the weight of our sins. But Jesus is closest to us in our weakness, not in our strength. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Here it is, because our strength comes from the one and the only powerful, strong one, God Himself. Jack R. Taylor wrote that confession is not only an inward acknowledgement of sin, but a verbal, outward declaration of God's truth. He argues that our words carry spiritual authority, creative power, because they align or misalign us with God's purposes. That's why we encourage you during prayers of the people to open your mouth and pray out loud and align your prayers with the will of God for our community, for our land, for our world, for whatever it is that we are together focusing on asking God for. Because confession is audible. People can hear it. Our prayers, there are moments where they can be spoken aloud, shared with others. And there are other moments where we just go in our secret closet and meet Him alone. Speaking truth in confession, church, defeats the enemy. This is why this is a big deal. This is why this is a sign of the kingdom. Because when we speak truth, the enemy, the father of all lies, needs to run. It's exposed. But silence allows deception to linger. And many of you are quiet here in silence, guarding many things that you are just don't even know how you could tell someone else. They're alone, tell God. But declaring God's promises, and with this I encourage you, when you declare His promises aloud, this affirms His victory. And that's exactly what David did in the Psalms constantly. Please let us remember that our tongue, and if you've read the scripture, there's so much there about the power of our words. But let's remember that our tongue is a spiritual weapon. With it we can speak blessing. And with it, thank you, John. We can speak curses. So let's use this spiritual weapon to speak the utterance of truth. Just as God spoke the world into existence, we participate in His creative power when we speak in alignment with His word. So confession as a proclamation is more than admitting wrong. It is verbally declaring Christ's lordship over every area of our life, breaking the enemy's bind. In addition to finding power for salvation in confession, we also know that there is power in confession for our healing. Yes, physical healing, but also spiritual healing. In confession, we open ourselves to be known and to be healed. This is what Richard also wrote. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This past Sunday, it was that time of the year where we have to go to get the annual checkups, you know, for right before school starts. And I don't go with Gabby anymore. But this was my last year with Stephen. And oh, what a joy. Listen, we've had the absolute blessing to have our family pediatrician for 20 years. His name is Dr. Titlani, if you're hearing it. I don't know if he is, but maybe he will one day. I don't know. I look forward to seeing Dr. Titlani every year because he actually always makes me feel like a super mom. So there is so much that I get out of that wellness visit. Anyway, when he was wrapping up his consultation with Stephen, he was just talking and he was sharing some profound observations about the world today. And I made notes. He said, so many people in this country are struggling with stress, anxiety, and depression. It's everywhere. So he told my son, Stephen, limit your screen time. Go outside. Stay active. Laugh. Enjoy life. Have fun. Stay grateful. Pointing to his heart. And remember, sometimes the best thing to do is to walk away. And I'm there going, listening to this. Because I feel like God is always speaking, right? We just have to pay attention. And I started to reflect on what he was saying. And I thought, how many people does Dr. Titlani see on a daily basis whose pain cannot be healed by medicine? Because the root of the issue is sin. Tyler Staton, in his book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, which I will be quoting a lot today, and I encourage you to read it, explains that one of the names thrown around for Jesus is the great physician. But a doctor can't heal you without an accurate diagnosis. If you show up to a great doctor and describe yourself as generally sick, they are not going to be able to do anything for you. In the same way, when we confess, and to confess is to say, I want to name my symptoms completely and comprehensively because I want to be healed completely and comprehensively. So when we come to God in confession, we don't leave anything out. We spill all the beans, and He wants it. He wants it all. He can deal with that. God can deal with truth because He is the truth. Confession is aligning ourselves with God's truth, being honest and turning from sin. It invites healing, not shame. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And in this topic of healing, I want to honor the work of counselors, therapists, and doctors. We have many here at NC4. And we want to thank you all for your daily dedication to the work of healing. We are so blessed here at NC4 by the ministry of our pastoral counselors. Let's give it out for Judy. And let's give it out for Lorraine. But listen, their success rate has everything to do with the space that they create when they intentionally have our clients be open for the Holy Spirit to come and reveal truth that causes confession and repentance, which leads to transformation. I would not be here today, church, if the Lord had not led me through that freeing process, confessing my sins to him. So many sins. It's crazy. And to others. Opening myself to receive prayer and healing. Not only for my own sin, but also for the wounds caused by the sins of others against me. Oh, but the power of a confessed life, church, not only brings salvation and healing, but also sets us free. There is freedom in confession. There is power in it. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Don't we love that verse? I mean, right? It's a good one. We quote it. We post it on social. But are we living it? Are we living in truth? Are we setting our hearts daily to freedom found in confession? Some people say, I just don't want to have conflict. Let's have it. Because truth is exposed. And as Christians, we can just cover each other in forgiveness and understanding that can only be accomplished through Jesus. The truth sets us free. Knowing Jesus is knowing the truth. Jesus also said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. John 14:6. Therefore, when we confess, we tell the truth. And by doing so, we align ourselves to Jesus, who is the truth. And he then can set us free from the power of sin. Listen, sin is constantly at work in us to keep us bound and confused. Confused about what is true. Look around. Confusion everywhere about what is true. Turn on the TV and listen. Everyone is confused. Amen. I mean, you can just watch with popcorn. It's entertaining. But confession. Confession exposes sin. Listen, sin likes to convince us that it is okay to trust ourselves only instead of trusting God. Tyler Staton calls sin the shorthand of any attempt to meet our deep needs by our own resources. The instinctive human response to sin is hiding in shame. But God is a tough God to play hide and seek with. Just like he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's also asking us, where are you? Come out, wherever you are. I see you. I see you. I see you. And what I've experienced in my life, every time I feel the gaze of God, which is daily, like, girl, really? It's for freedom. It's not to, like, another check on your list, Karen. Here we go. I knew it. The moment I saw her. That's not how God deals with this. He said, come on, child. I'm with you. There's love. There's freedom. There's forgiveness. Once again, get up. You're safe. You are safe with me. Listen, church, God is love. I wrote this and I was like, God, santo. God is love. And he loves you. For those that don't know that what santo means, it means holy. But when you say santo in Spanish, it's just like, glory. I don't know. It's just different. God is love. And he loves you. Let me say it again. God is love and he loves you so much. But sin works to block our capacity to receive that love. Sin is always at work to keep us bound, unable to embrace the love of God for ourselves, but also to return it back to him and give it to others. This is why Jesus, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He just said, again, it's been written. It's nothing new. Love your Lord. Love God. Love him with all your heart, with all that you are, and your neighbor as yourselves. But this is not possible without confession. The next point says, confession is a terrifying gift. Which sounds like a contradiction, right? A gift that is terrifying, because it is. The alternative to hiding in sin and shame is the refusal to hide. That's the alternative. I will not be ashamed. I will come out. I will tell the truth. A terrifying insistence to exposing ourselves to God through confession. That is the only way to open up to God's unconditional love. God loves you, and he can handle your truth, church. That is, what is that truth? The truth about what you're believing right now. The truth about yourself. The truth about others. All he's asking us, church, just come and tell him. Tell him. Don't carry it on your... Don't go like, I'll deal with this. I'll get back to you later. Let me figure it out. No, just come. Come with your doubts. Come with your questions. Come with your disappointment. Come. We see example after example in the scriptures, in the Psalms, where David... It's constantly, when you read it, you feel empowered to come to God with your laments filled with truth so that he can then set us free. Eugene Peterson wrote, God deals with sin by forgiving us. And when he does, there is so much more to us, not less. There's more to us, not less. But when you carry your sin in shame and hiding, there's less to you. There is less to you. So many people are isolating, rather with screens than with each other in community, because they're afraid to be known, to be seen. And God is saying, come in confession, you will be known, you will be seen, and you will be loved. Church, our confessed life to God is powerful to save, to heal, to bring freedom. But lastly, it's powerful to build community. The power of confession brings and builds a community together. That is a community that grows in power and spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity in a way that is... That is observed, that is experienced. You know how? Because there's more confession and not less. That's a powerful, spiritual, mature community where there is more trust in confession and not less. Because together, In our community, we are committed to discovering the depths of our personal fallenness and the depth where God's grace has penetrated it, even without us knowing it. That's what Tyler continues to write in his book. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus," oh, the blood of Jesus, "cleanses us from all our sin." Church, we are living in desperate times. Tell me something I don't know. You like that one? I just saw a beautiful musical, and that's one of the songs. "Tell me something I don't know." Right, Mildred? We're living in desperate times. This is how my brain works, by the way. I'm trying to stay here, Karen. We're living in desperate times. And the world doesn't need more successful and popular Christians. Yes, I said it. It needs deep Christians. Unafraid Christians. Truthful Christians. Christians that walk with everyone unafraid, because they know that the one who lives in them is stronger, more powerful than the one who lives in the world. Yes, we dare to go into darkness because we carry the light of the world in us. We break our bubble of light and safety to welcome the hurting, the lost, the confused. Because it's so nice to shine in a place where everyone knows. But how about you walk into your workplace with your family members and start showing vulnerability and truth? I'm telling you, they're going to lean in. They're going to be very curious, because you're walking in light. That means you're not hiding. And when they can see that light, then they can see Jesus. We are to be followers of Jesus, to dare to live lives of truth, filled confession before God and one another. Satan clearly says it this way: the pathway of spiritual maturity is a descent, not an ascent. A maturing community is a confessing community. Not a church without sin, but a church without secrets. Secretive behaviors, church, and hidden sins should not exist in the fellowship of Christians. Ephesians 4:25 from the New Living Translation says it strongly, and I picked it on purpose. It says, "Stop lying. Stop telling lies." And he was not talking to people that did not go to church. He was talking to the people that go to church. And he was telling them, "Stop telling lies." Let us all tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. So to live as children of life, we must be honest with ourselves, others, of who we are, including our shortcomings, failings, struggles with sin. Just this week, and I'm descending. This is your hope. Just this week, on August 13, marked the anniversary of a historic outpouring of God's Spirit to the Moravian Church, what they call the Moravian Pentecost. And the story goes that in 1722, 48 Moravians refugees form a small community in Herrnhut, Germany, under the Count Zinzendorf, lo dije, I said it, protection. Man, Zinzendorf. And believe me, I shorten his name because it's longer. So I'm just saying the one last name, Count Zinzendorf. All right. And he took these people in. They were refugees. They were being persecuted. And he said he had a lot of land. He had a lot of money. He said, come. And they actually built a village in his property. And that, and they named it actually Herrnhut, which is, I believe it says, it translates into the watch of the Lord. And for 5 years, this newly 48 community that was growing was actually struggling. They were in deep disunity. They were really discouraging. They were bickering. They were not being nice. Let's be nice. I need to be nice. In recognizing that they couldn't stay together by their own strength, Zinzendorf, I think he just had it. You know, I just want to add, like, he was just like, enough. Enough. 5 years of this? Y'all have to come to church and repent. This is the only way out of this. You've been trying to figure this out on your own, and it's not working. So he summoned them. And he encouraged them, repent and confess before the Lord. And it says that actually that day, when they said, okay, when they surrender, August 13, 1727, during a communion service, it says the Holy Spirit fell upon the community in a way that is later described as the Moravian Pentecost. They experienced a supernatural outpouring of God's love for themselves and for one another. And that day, church, marked the beginning of a 24/7 prayer watch movement that continued for 100 years. It ignited also one of the greatest missionary movements in history. That's why they came to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Powerful. And this is why we focus on signs of the kingdom. This is why we've been talking about be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have discernment. Prophesy. Speak in tongues. Because we need power. Amen. We need power to confess and live a life of truth. This historical event gives a vivid picture of what happens when people come to the end of themselves. When they confess their need for God. The Moravians did not engineer revival through willpower or strategy. Man, we love that word, strategy. It's a good one. But the strategy was, come, surrender, confess. Simply come in truth. The Moravian Pentecost shows that confession and prayer opens the door for God's Spirit to do what we cannot do on our own, church. So my last point is this. In summary, there is power in a confessed life. Power to save, power to heal, to set us free and to build a community of faith that is able to shine God's light in a world that's desperate for truth and hope. The worship team is joining me, and I'm going to ask you all to please stand. And as I ask the prayer and prophetic team to come forth, we are going to have prayer. We are going to make the invitation. Church, I want to invite you, if you can, if you want to, close your eyes. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's pride. Pride keeping you from seeing your true self before the Lord, as it was with the Pharisee in our scripture at the beginning. Or if there's fear or shame because of past rejections or embarrassment that's keeping you from confessing truth in prayer. Confessing like the tax collector said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right now, just take a minute to reflect. Ask yourself, what truth have I been hiding that I need to confess to God or others? I encourage you. Tell God the truth about your fears, your doubts and disappointments. Tell God the truth about what you really, really believe. It's not wrong. He'll take it. He can do something with it. And as you do, just watch. Watch the Holy Spirit come. Come, come, Holy Spirit. Come, rest on us, Holy Spirit. Right here in Makanji, right there in Bethlehem, online, come, rest on us. As you did with the Moravian church. Come, rest on us, set us free. Let us see, let us experience how shame loses its grip. How light begins to shine in us, and how real transformation begins. Because wherever and whatever we bring into the light, God redeems. Whatever we name in truth, God heals. Whatever we trust Him with, gives Him the chance to set us free. That is the power of a confessed life. I want to read this prayer. And if you feel like coming, come to the altar. It's the English version of the Veni Sancte Spiritu. It says, come Holy Spirit. Send forth the heavenly radiance of your light. Come, Father of the poor. Come, giver of gifts. Come, light our hearts. Oh, greatest comforter. Sweet guest of our souls. Our sweet consolation. In labor, in rest, in heat, temperance, in tears, in solace. Oh, most blessed light, fill the innermost heart of your faithful ones. Without your spirit, there is nothing man or woman, nothing that is not harmful. Cleanse us. Cleanse that which is unclean. Water that which is dry. Heal that which is wounded. Do it, Holy Spirit. Bend that which is inflexible. Fire that which is chilled. Correct what goes astray. Give to your faithful ones, those who trust in you, the sevenfold gifts. Oh, give it to us. Signs of the kingdom. Grant the reward of virtue. Grant the deliverance of salvation. Grant our eternal joy in you, in you, in you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you for listening to the NC4 podcast. For more info, visit our website at nc4.org. We believe in the power of a connected life. If you prayed to give your life to Jesus today, we'd love to help you walk it out together. Just text the word Jesus to 610-816-6062.